Hey guys, welcome back. Welcome back. My name is Dave, your favorite podcast crude movie reviewer. On this episode, I'm going to be doing a solo review on 10 Cloverfield Lane. I just checked that out today, and I gotta say, man, that movie was fantastic. I'm gonna get into the film, but I'm not gonna have any spoilers. So don't worry, I'm not going to ruin it for you guys. So 10 Cloverfield Lane was labeled as a kind of a sister movie to the 2008 movie Cloverfield with like the giant monster that I'm sure most of you guys have seen. That was an okay film. That was like a Steadicam handheld, you know, grainy footage kind of video similar to like the Blair Witch Project and Paranormal Activity. I'm a fan of those movies. I like them. If they're done well, they're creepy and they immerse you into the world. I know Gil's not really a fan. I don't think he is. Bri's not really a fan of them. I am. I don't think Paul's a fan either. But again, I feel like if they're done well and they're good movies, they really do. You feel like you're a part of the film for some reason. And I like that effect. Like the Blair Witch Project, that movie scared the shit out of me when I was young. I saw it in the dark, complete, like alone. And that was like a huge ass mistake. That movie scared the shit out of me. And whoever says that the Blair Witch Project wasn't a scary movie, you're a fucking liar. You're a liar. That movie was nuts. If you allow yourself to be sucked into that world, that movie was definitely creepy. Another movie that was creepy in that style was The Last Exorcism. Overall, it wasn't the greatest movie, but there were certain parts and scenes that were definitely screwed up and creepy. And especially like the second half. Screwed up, man. Screwed up. So anyway, Cloverfield, again, is that style of film. And this movie was labeled, again, as like a sister film. Not really a sequel, like they admitted that, but it's like in that universe, in that world, apparently. So I was like, I was kind of intrigued. It, IMDb gave it an 8 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 90%. Metacritic, which is tough, gave it an 80%. And you can hear those are great scores. Those are great freaking scores. I was going to check it out anyway because I was bored. It's Sunday. By the way, I have to be up at 5 in the morning. It's 12:37 right now. And my crazy ass is doing a podcast episode for you listeners. That's dedication. That deserves a subscription. All right, guys? Don't you think? I'm sacrificing for you guys. But continuing. So those are great scores. And before I went to go see the movie, I checked out the ratings and I was like, all right, that's, you know, three top sites can't be off, you know? And I mostly go by Rotten Tomatoes, excuse me. But, yeah, like three sites giving it great scores. I was like, all right, there's gotta be something to this movie. So it's directed by Dan Trachtenberg. He's not really known for anything big. He did a great job in this movie. It stars John Goodman. He plays Howard. Mary Elizabeth Winstead plays Michelle. Ooh, oh, man, that chick is hot. She's from the probably most known for the 2011 film The Thing, which I really enjoyed because the original not the original. John Carpenter's was actually a remake as well. But the 1980-something, I think it was 87, John Carpenter film was like one of my top 10 films of all time for whatever reason. It clicks with me, resonates with me. Fantastic film. Love it to death. And they did a prequel in 2011 starring Mary Elizabeth Winstead. And it was good. It was a good movie. It did The Thing franchise justice. And I found it pretty attractive. Not that it has anything to do with the movie rating or review, but I found her attractive then. And in this movie, 10 Cloverfield Lane, ooh, buddy, she is she's a looker. She's freaking hot. I'm digging her. So, it also stars John Gallagher Jr. and he plays this guy, Emmett. And the premise to the film is this. After getting in a car accident, a woman is held in a shelter by two men who claim the outside world is affected by a widespread chemical attack. Now, having seen the movie and seen the original Cloverfield, obviously, I know what's going on, the inner workings of the film, and how it's linked, and how the trailers and the information we got on the film didn't really do it justice as far as like connections and what you could piece together. I have to tell you that this movie was a sleeper. It was not a sleeper like I'm at the theater snoring. It was a sleeper as far as being good. Like, the movie was freaking good. It was 100% worth the ticket. I saw it in IMAX. It was like $14 and, even $14. Like, it was worth the freaking ticket, even though my eardrums hate me right now because the IMAX theaters are ridiculous. Like, you come out of there and your ears are bleeding. You're bleeding out of every orifice. But, that's the IMAX, experience. It is what it is. You pay for it. But, like I said, definitely worth the ticket. I do recommend it to people if you want to see a cool, I don't want to get too into it. I'll just call it a suspense thriller, but there's more to it than that. Like I've seen so many movies in my lifetime on this earth and I'm a writer. I do scripts on the side, you know, short films, blah, blah, blah. So I'm really in tune with writing and films. So I pick films apart. And there, you know, I'm not some crazy authority. I don't have nutty credentials, but I'm just, you know, explaining how I nitpick the shit out of films. Sometimes I do. And this movie did not have lazy writing. It had great writing. It had me on the edge of my seat. I was shocked and surprised by several scenes. It kept me guessing. It was just, and there was so much more to it than that was like led on with the trailers and the information you got, which I think is a breath of fresh air, because in this day and age, you see a trailer and you're watching the whole movie. And that's like sad. Like, what happened to the days where they had trailers and you don't see shit? And you go check out the movie to find out what's going on. So I think that they divulge too much information these days with trailers. And, they didn't give you a whole lot of information with this movie, similar to like the original Cloverfield in 2008, which is kind of like a mystery. And, there's so much to this movie. Like, I don't want to spoil it for you guys. It's so layered. It's not what I thought it was. I had an idea of what it was, but I was pleasantly surprised that there was like way more to it. It's so layered. I probably would own it. You know, I liked it that much. I probably would own it. Let's not get crazy. I'm not going to pay $25 for no Blu-ray or $20 for it. But if I see it on the shelf for like $10, $9.99, scooped. I'm picking it up. It was good. John Goodman, awesome actor, underrated as hell. The guy is an acting OG. The, for you non-slang people, original gangster. Like, John Goodman, he's a good actor, man. He is a good actor. He does not get the credit that he deserves. And he was great in this movie. He was, I don't want to spoil anything, but he just was good. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, also kind of new on the scene. She's a good actress. This chick can act. She's good. And I'm looking forward to other films with her. I'm just going to, I guess I'll grade it. I'll talk about a few more things that I like, but I'm just going to get the grade out the way. I'm going to say that 10 Cloverfield Lane was a B+. It could have been an A, but I'm giving it a B+. It was that good. I 100% recommend it to people. The scores, Rotten Tomatoes was more on the money with the 90%. You know, it's worth the ticket. Worth it if you're bored. Worth it if you want to check something out. You know, nothing to do. it was just a good movie. It was just, you know, some of the things that I liked about it without spoiling it again was, it was shot well. It wasn't like a thriller or a scary movie where they use loud sounds and shock value to scare you. Like, there was legitimate creepy things and surprising, shocking scenes. And I tend to stay away from PG-13 films. And this is kind of funny. Like, I went to check it out not knowing that it was PG-13. And admittedly, when I see, I'm like biased, man. Like, when I see PG-13 on a film, I don't like watered down shit. I like rated R, raw, in your face, you know, pull no punches films. And usually PG-13, they're not my cup of tea, but sometimes they do them so well that it's kind of like a rated R film. They just make it a little more suggestive, which is sometimes better. Because when your mind creates scenes and when your mind fill in the blanks, things are a little bit more scarier and creepier. So for a PG-13 movie, props, kudos, had some cringe moments. You saw enough. I'm not going to say it was a rated R, but it was a damn good PG-13 film. So yeah, the acting was good. I thought the acting was phenomenal, specifically John Goodman, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, also great. The special effects were good. I have no complaints about the special effects. The story was good. The writing was good. Had a lot of twists and turns. Suspenseful. I don't know what else to say, guys. I'm getting redundant here. All I got to say again is check it out. I promise you won't be let down. Trust in Dave. It's a good movie. So that's going to wrap up this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed the review on 10 Cloverfield Lane. Please subscribe to the podcast. Leave feedback. We really appreciate it. We're all over like the freaking internet. Just look for us. Subscribe on iTunes. And that's it, guys. Take care, and we'll catch you back with the next episode. Later.